Clubhouse.
Welcome to the Girls Five Eva Love It or Leave It podcast from Pod Clubhouse. I'm Sheila McGann. And with me here today is my longtime sister from another Mista, Kristen Smith.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome to the clubhouse, Kristen.
Thank you. I feel like we're getting the band back together.
Yes, I know. This is great. I'm so glad that you agreed to come podcast with me. This has been a long time in the making.
Even though I haven't seen you physically in a while, I feel like we have been connected this whole time. We've been doing pub trivia almost every Friday night.
Yes,
for a while.
Definitely so kept my sanity.
This is just another hang with my friend.
So this is actually not kind of your first hurrah with the Pod Clubhouse.
No, not really.
You were kind of like my behind the scenes, my Broadway connection for the Hell or Good, the Younger podcast that we did for the final season of Younger.
Yes. I was kind of like your behind the scenes trivia nugget giver.
Yes, you were passing me all these little like best little nugget notes about the actors and actresses that were from like different Broadway shows. Sutton Foster's bestie, who did like what show? I think it was Lauren Benanti did The Baroness. She played The Baroness in the Sound of Music live production. And then she was talking, she was quoting it in Younger.
And then they referenced it. And I was like, oh my God.
You were like snorting laughing. So that the show was doing its best to recruit all these Broadway stars, you know, to give them work during the dark period of COVID.
Yes, what a dark period it was.
Why don't you share a little bit with us about your background with Broadway, how you came to know so much about all these Broadway shows?
Sure. So as you know, I love music. I grew up with music. My parents were musicians. My brother, my sister, you know them as well. That's how we know each other.
That's how we all know each other.
Yes.
It's gross.
Like if our friendship was a person, it would be legally
able to rent a car. Our friendship can rent a car.
Yes. So I've always loved Broadway. It used to be this wonderful like gift that we would get for Christmas or birthdays. So I would go once or twice a year. But as I got older and I had my own money, I decided I'm going to go see whatever show I want. So I would say about 2018, 2019, I saw a lot of shows and then COVID happened. And my
freaking
heart
COVID
broke. My heart broke. But I also really love Sarah Bareilles. So when I found out she was going to be part of this show, I was like, yes, sign me up, please.
So did you have a Peacock subscription prior to this show?
I did not.
Ha!
But I signed up as soon as it was on air. I got a free trial and I said, yep, I'll sign up for a month. I still have it. Now we're watching the Tour de France and the we'll be watching the Olympics.
Oh, perfect. Okay, yeah, good. So you're going to
keep it for a while.
Because there's more Girls Five Eva coming, right? We'll get more into that later.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So Twitter told me today that Sarah Bareilles is going to be reprising her role in Waitress this autumn when it reopens.
Yes, she is.
So naturally, I need to go see this show with you, seeing as how she's the star of the show here.
Yes, please. Because I've already seen it 10 times, and what's another 2 or 3 times?
Yeah, I mean, amongst friends, and then, like, you can tell me how the show is different pre-COVID versus post-COVID, you know, BC versus...
That's what I'm really curious to see is, like, how the lyrics hit differently this time around.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everything is going to hit differently, and I've already, like, told my credit card that it needs to just get over itself. I've already booked tickets to go see Little Shop of Horrors with Christian Borle in October. I booked tickets to go see The Music Man with Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman.
Next for me.
I feel like it was January. I already told my husband, I'm like, you already bought me your Christmas present, and it's very nice. Thank you very much.
And it might be a little expensive.
It is. It is. I mean, to see two living legends, and like I said, we just wrapped the Younger podcast, and that was, you know, 7 seasons of
and
Sutton Foster.
You know my love for Sutton Foster too. So.
Yes, I've really missed. I mean, I watched Hamilton over 4th of July weekend, which was just this past weekend.
Yeah,
so I'm feeling
Hamilton.
I'm feeling that the pull of Broadway. So naturally, this was something when it came across my plate. I hadn't heard of it until last month. I binged this in about a day.
So did I. And then I watched it again. And then I watched it again.
Yes. So I'm on my third rewatch because it's such an easily digestible show. So, all right. This is a love it or leave it. It's or a Leoli, as we call it, where we divide the show into two very distinct segments. The first part is really spoiler free. We're going to go over like the premise of the show, who the creatives are, who the cast is, what makes this one work for us or not work. And we'll give you our recommendation to love it or leave it. Then we'll assume that you're going to go watch the show or you've already watched the show and you're here for more. We're going to go for broke. We are going to talk in detail about some of the best moments of the show for us, whatever Easter eggs that we found, little trivia bits and details that we've uncovered, what plot points worked for us, and so on. So we're really going to dive into the show and give you a more in-depth recommendation. So first half, spoiler-free. Second half, heavy on the spoilers, because we're going to talk about basically everything that happened in the show. So yes. Girls 5 Eva is an 8-episode Peacock original. It's streaming only on the premium service, which is what we just talked about just a minute ago. You do have to have the paid platform level in order to access this show. Okay. And I think it's $6 a month.
Yeah, I think they'll let you watch the first episode.
Yes, I believe on the free.
And then they reel you in.
Yes, yeah. I have the basic package, which I think is like $60 a year. I can't download and I can't go ad free. The price point didn't seem worth it for me.
Right. And there's too many other platforms that I'm already paying for.
Girl.
So no offense to Peacock, but.
Girl. It's redonkulous over here. I mean.
Well, yes, with you and your podcasts, I can definitely see why.
Well, not only that, like we just like.
And you have a child who needs to watch Disney.
I'm sorry. He needs to. I got his grandfathered in on the 3-year deal on Disney when that came out last year.
Smart.
Yeah. So back to Peacock. Girls 5 Eva, it's an 8-episode Peacock original.
AKA too short.
But it was also recently renewed for a second season. So while I discovered this in mid-June, it ended up being renewed for a second season.
You texted me one day and said, are you watching this show? You would really like it. And I said, I'm already on my second rewatch.
Yes. And that is how this podcast became born. Yeah. I talk about shows with other people. They say, hey, I like it. Hey, you want to talk with me on a microphone with this? And they go, sure.
No, first we go, sure. And then we go, okay, sure.
And then, you know, I storm in going like, it's so much fun. And it is.
It is.
So this show was created by Meredith Scardino, and executive producers are Tina Fey, David Miner, Robert Carlock, Jeff Richmond, Eric Gurian, and Meredith Scardino. Do any of those names sound any way familiar to you?
Yes, those are some heavy hitters. I obviously know Tina Fey. Did you know that she's married to Jeff Richmond?
I learned that fun little factoid from you, actually, when we were talking about this, and I was just like, huh.
One little spoiler, Tina Fey wrote, obviously, she wrote the movie Mean Girls. When it went to Broadway, I was wondering who would be doing the music, and I found out her husband wrote all the music for Mean Girls on Broadway.
He did all the music for this show, too, all the original music with Sarah Bareilles, a lot of the collaboration, but I think he wrote the actual melody, and she did the lyrics.
I'm not sure on that, because I know that he does do music and lyrics as well, so I know that he wrote a lot of the main music, but the one big shining star song of the show, Sarah actually wrote.
Yes, that is true. That is definitely true.
No offense to Jeff Richmond, but that's my favorite song.
Oh, it is. Okay, so there's no spoilers here. Any song that you hear in the show that is sung by them, some of their old stuff, the Girls 5 Eva old stuff from the late 90s, it is all earworms. It is going to stick in your head. That theme song, that theme song will be in your head for days.
I sing it all the time.
Gonna be when famous I first watched forever. Cause forever
too short. Too short. Yes, I was singing that for days. And then it left my body. And then I started rewatching it again. And it came back. And it's going to live here forever in my ear.
It's okay. It's rent-free in my head. And, yeah, I ain't mad about it. So
because it's just so good. I mean, Jeff Richmond wrote that one. And it's just so good.
It's very catchy. So tell me about some of the stuff that this producing team has done.
I know that they've done 30 Rock, which is also genius. they did the movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So in my opinion, the movie's great. The book it was based on was meh, it was a little boring. Yeah.
One of those situations where the movie outshines the book.
Exactly. But I think it's because it was cast really well. It's a tough subject because it's about the war in Iraq and she's a traveling reporter. So it is a little tough material, but again, I think the movie was better than the book. And usually I think the book is better.
Sure.
Generally, there's that. They also did The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's a show on the same realm where they have all these quick jokes and a lot of smart humor. I think Meredith Scardino's known for doing like a joke a minute.
Yes. I saw a lot of similarities between Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and this show, specifically with the quips, the memorable moments. Definitely felt that that similarity, that symbiosis between that show.
And even just like the background musical motifs, all the little like scene changing riffs, that's all Jeff Richmond too. And it was very similar to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, I feel like that was a good template for them to use to kind of mirror the tempo of this show.
So the premise of this show, it's a one-hit wonder band from the 90s. And they get a second shot at fame when a young rapper, his name is Lil Stinker, he samples their
song. It's stinky!
Yes. And basically the first scene of the show is like, oh, he goes, that's stinky. They basically get a second chance. They hear the song on the radio because he sampled it, and they get a royalty check after that. And then they basically decide to reunite, and they get a second chance at fame, stardom, or just trying to get the band back together.
What struck me was actually the summary from Peacock's website, where the one-hit wonder group from the 90s gets sampled by a young rapper, and the members reunite to give their pop star dreams one more shot, this time while balancing spouses, kids, jobs, debt, aging parents, and shoulder pain. Can I tell you how much the shoulder pain hit home?
Yes. And I mean, it's basically mirroring real life, where all of these 90s and 2000s bands are now getting back together, like 98 Degrees, Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block. They all went on tour together. They went on like a super boy band tour.
Oh, there was like the mixtape tour of like 2019. Was like, I think it was like Nassau Coliseum. Like, we're both based in New York. So Nassau Coliseum, like,
it was awesome.
But I mean, like, literally every Facebook post from that night was like a picture of like people in their New Kids on the Block shirt. I'm like, damn. Yes.
So the advantage of having an older sister is I was more like the Backstreet Boys 98 Degrees fandom. But because I have an older sister, she was very into New Kids on the Block. So I knew all of their music. All of my friends thought I was weird because I knew the songs. I was singing with them. Where did you learn all of this? I'm like, I have an older sister. Stop.
Okay, so let's talk about the characters a little bit. So we talked about Sarah Bareilles. She's Dawn. Busy Phillips. I love Busy Phillips. I love her.
I do too.
I find her so cartoonish in like the most lovable way.
I love her as a person generally. Like, I follow all of them on Instagram. So when I first started watching the show, I was thinking like, oh, I don't really like her character. I think they dumbed her down too much. Is that a spoiler alert? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
So I didn't like super enjoy her character in the very beginning, but then on the second rewatch, they made it work. This is perfect for her. And I think she really leaned into the character too.
Yes, I feel that she delivered on the over-the-topness that Summer becomes.
Yes.
I will agree, on the second rewatch, I appreciated her flair and her sort of like comedic timing. I didn't really appreciate on the first watch because like I was just trying to devour it so fast because it was just like, this is so good. This is so funny.
Agreed.
So I do recommend watching this a second time through because I mean like just go for broke. Like just keep it on loop.
You skip a lot of jokes because you're trying to recover from the first one that you skip the second and third and fourth. And then you get to the next joke. And there's just a lot of stuff to unpack.
Yes, this is jam-packed with little nuggets, little Easter eggs, little, like you said, like a joke a minute. Sometimes the jokes are wrapped up within each other. You're still chuckling from the first one and moved on to the third. So, so I definitely recommend that. So Busy Phillips as Summer, Paula Pell as Gloria. I did not know Paula Pell as a name before. No. Oh. But I certainly knew her work as head writer on SNL for years. I mean, she was a writer for years and then she was head writer.
She's been in a bunch of the movies too. Like, I know she was in Wine Country.
Yes.
I think that's called. Yeah, Wine Country, where it's a group of 40-year-olds and they go celebrate their birthdays. And it's basically like the cast from SNL from their time. And they're just like, we're gonna make a movie about us and you're gonna like it.
And she was in AP Bio and I didn't stick with it long enough to kind of learn everybody. One of the other really big names is Renee Elise Goldsberry as Wiki Boy.
You might know her from playing Angelica. Yeah, Hamilton on Broadway from the original cast. So she's now also on the Disney Plus movie version.
You'll be satisfied.
I love her in that show. I never got to see her on stage, unfortunately. But I have Disney Plus to thank for that, to have her forever. But just her emotion when she sings that song. I cried the first time.
I saw an interview just very recently, just in sort of doing the prep for this, where she talks about that song. And she said it was really a struggle for her basically every night to not cry doing the song. So performing it.
Because she basically sings the song twice.
And it's desperate both times.
Oh, yes. It's so good.
So she really, for me, like, shines in this role as Wiki.
Agreed.
I idolize her so much because of her work in Hamilton. And she's also been in the show Evil that I covered for Pop Culture Review. So I really liked her. I mean, she was a small recurring character, but she was very powerful in what she did. Mm. But the series is also peppered with amazing cameos, which we'll talk about in the second half because they're all spoilery.
I may have some nuggets for you there, too.
Oh, I like nuggets. So, I mean, definitely stay tuned or go watch the show and come back and listen with us because you want to hear about all these cameos. Because, I mean, the Peacock Network really went heavy on the cameos. Mm-hmm. It feels very intentional to try to, like, bolster the profile of the show in the best way possible. Like, you don't really need it with some of the, like, Sarah Bareilles and Renee Goldsberry, but it just helps to kind of round out the funness of it, because like they come in there is most of them are very lighthearted. There's only one that's a little heavy for me. Yeah. But I mean, just the amount of cameos that a first run season of a show on a streaming network, it just felt very big for me. So I really liked that.
Right. Like what was their budget for that?
Yeah. I mean,
or was everybody just so desperate that they wanted,
I don't know.
They did it for nothing.
Yeah. They filmed this at the end of last year. I feel like
it was pretty much during COVID.
Yeah. Cause like November is when things got really, really bad again. So yeah. So maybe people were just grateful for the exposure and the paycheck. So let me ask you, how did this cast work for you? What was like the chemistry for you? Did anyone not work for you?
No, I loved it. I don't think that I would change anybody. I think they worked really well together. I kind of loved their chemistry. It was very nostalgic for me because I grew up on 90s girl groups, boy bands. So I really liked their energy. Like I said before, Busy Phillips as Summer, the first time around was like, oh, I don't know about this, but she made it work. It was great.
And Wiki's character, I think Renee Goldsberry played that really well because I don't want to throw out other names because I don't want to disrespect anybody who didn't have a chance at the role. But Wiki's a really tough character, I think, because she can come off really self-centered and really bitchy in the wrong hands.
Right.
But I think that the way that she was written and she was played, it finds the balance where she's on her journey. They're all on their journey. And this is a tough time in their lives. But I think Wiki in someone else's hands may not have come across as endearing as Renee Goldsberry played her.
I think she plays Wiki as a fierce person. She plays the diva flawlessly.
So who do you think this was most of a spoof on from the 90s? The Girls Five. I'm going to say the Girls Five have the name and the group, the dynamics between them.
So right off the bat, Spice Girls.
Hell yeah.
Because it was originally five members. That's why it's Girls Five Eva. Because
forever is too short.
Exactly. You'll find out later why there's four main characters.
Yes.
So right off the bat, Spice Girls. And then I got into it a little bit more and I thought, well, you know, Backstreet Boys was five members. Mm-hmm. The Kids on the Block was five members. NSYNC was five members. But then you go to the other flip side of it with the name, with the number in the name. So you think 98 Degrees, Boys mm-hmm. to Men, that group five that had the number five.
IVE.
Yeah. Right. And then later on, like in the 2000s and 2010s, there were other groups. I can't think of them because I'm old now.
Yeah, the recall is not quite there. But I mean, even something as so funny as like, so like 98 Degrees and then Boys to Men, there was a whole bunch of them. Where, like, even in the credits, where at the very end of the credits, it says created by Meredith Scardino, the create is C-R-E-8, the number eight.
And the last episode is separate.
Yes.
With the number eight.
Yes, yeah, separate ways with an eight. Like, so immediately I was just like, hello, Spice Girls, because especially at one point they kind of like named themselves as like the fun one, the flirty one, whatever it
is. Like they kind of do the MTV behind the scenes tour video and they give each other titles, basically.
Yeah. This season of COVID, I'm going to still call it because we're still in it. Like the nostalgia I feel is very high. What I mean by that is like Josh Gad last year was doing a lot of the Reunited Together or Together Apart series where he was reuniting like the cast of The Goonies, the cast of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's like so many are coming to mind. The Princess Bride, they reunited in 2020 for a tabletop reading.
So Josh Gad didn't do this one, but Father of the Bride did a special COVID edition, like half hour series on Facebook.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't see that. So
YouTube, it's great.
Yeah. So I feel like this is hitting at the right time because there is a lot of nostalgia for the 90s right now. There's just
that's what people are looking for, is something that makes them feel happy in this dark period that we're going through.
An escape that's somewhat reality based because like you can identify with these characters. If you're somewhat like closer to the age that I am, the things like the shoulder pain will resonate with you. Mm-hmm. And there's like, I just think this is hitting at a really good time as well for people to enjoy this.
Yes. It's filmed in literally my neighborhood. So as soon as I noticed some of the streets, I felt at home.
Yes.
And then I wanted to go outside and find out where exactly they were filming because it's filmed at Kauffman Studios in Astoria in New York City. I grew up knowing that Kauffman was there. It's known for Sesame Street. That's where Sesame Street still films today.
And now everything that films in New York takes a spin through Kauffman.
Pretty much. Basically. Either Kauffman or Silver Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are our two big names.
I will definitely tell you that I swear some of the block shots that I saw in Astoria, especially like around Dawn's neighborhood, or like, yes. I'm like, that's their block. I swear.
It's not quite our block, but there is one where she comes out of her apartment and I'm like, I know this block. I've been on this block.
That's what I'm like,
where it is.
I'll find you because I know I've been on you. I probably looked for parking on your street there.
Probably.
Yeah. Their apartment building.
Mm-hmm. And then her brother's restaurant where she works, the Solano's restaurant. I'm pretty sure that's on the corner of 21st Street where they bring the bench. And I've passed that place many times.
I don't know what the restaurant
is called now, but obviously it was called Solano's restaurant.
This is going to feel very familiar to any New Yorker.
Yes.
All this is leading up to, so like, what drew you to the show, Kristen?
Funny you ask. I mean, obviously, Sarah Bareilles, that's a no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
I've been following her on Instagram for forever because I've been a fan of hers. And then I saw her in Waitress. And then basically anytime she's in town, I go see her. So when she posted about it, she was going to be part of this project. I thought like, oh, that's great. She's going to write the music. It's going to sound really good. And then I found out she was going to be a lead character. And that was it. I was sold. I said, yep, I'm all in on this show. I started recommending it to all my friends. And then I thought like, what if it's bad?
That's always the danger.
Yeah, I'm like, they're going to hate me. But yeah, so that drew me to the show. She posted about it early on. And she was one of the first, I think the first lead character that was cast. They added just the stellar cast to it. So it just got better and better and better and better and better.
Yeah, I mean, times five, like five Eva. So I hadn't heard about this show because I have like 12 streaming services. I'm not kidding. I have them all, basically. The only one I don't have right now, I think, is like AMC Plus, where I'm watching Kevin Can F Himself, which is a really great show, by the way.
With Alexis from...
With who is the most un-Alexis-like character in the show. It's a revelation to watch. Anyhow, go listen to Kevin Can Podcast himself on Pod Clubhouse for full coverage of Kevin Can F himself from AMC. So I really hadn't heard about the show because it's hard in the streaming world to nail down like what's new, what's hot. Like I try to like follow stuff on Twitter. I don't always see everything.
Very true, because there's so much out there now.
Right, and it's hard.
Anyone keeps track.
Well, it helps when you get recommendations from people who are like super fans who like, hey, there's this new show coming out. I think you'd like it because it has all the people that you like. That helps. And then I go through like different like drought periods with different streaming services. So like I hadn't really turned to Peacock for a while because Paramount Plus had come out with a whole bunch of shows, right. And HBO Max had uploaded, you know, like the Looney Tunes set. So now we were watching that in my house.
You also forget that you're paying for half of it.
I know. So I try to
give everyone some love.
I try to like log into each one like once a week and watch something. So this way, at least I'm keeping everything current. So how I found the show was actually Pod Clubhouse had asked me in June to cover a couple of panels at the ATX TV Festival. It was virtually held in Austin. One of the panels that they asked me to cover was like the original mixtape series, like how to bring original music to shows and to make it interesting. And there was this enormous panel of just the most amazing collaborators and musicians. And one of them was Jeff Richmond. And he was talking about
so fun.
It was hilarious. It was just, it was tragic in the sense that it was only an hour and you had six of these wonderful people. You had the composer from This Is Us, We Are Lady Parts, Girls Five Eva, but it was just really a great panel, but like we didn't get like all the meat off the bone, you know, when we were devouring this panel, because
right. You
have six people and a moderator and you only have 60 minutes. So this could have easily been an hour and a half and I would have fully enjoyed it as much as I did.
You probably would be able to do an hour with each composer.
Easily.
And it would not be enough.
Easily. Dive into their creative process. So it was a really fascinating panel rather to listen to. And then we did a little summary of that. So that's also available on Pod Clubhouse if you want to go find that out. Because I don't think...
I will be checking that out.
Yeah, because I don't know if they make the panels available afterwards. And if they don't, that's really sad because it was really good. But Jeff Richman was there and he was talking about the show Girls Five Ever. It was grabbing me in a way because he's talking about Sarah Bareilles and talking about Renee Goldsberry. And like, you have these amazing talents and how do you showcase them and how do you showcase them equitably? It was interesting because he said the casting process was really hard because being able to be a really good singer, because he said we were going for like, you needed to be a believable pop star. You have to have the right people. And he said, and it came together working with Sarah Bareilles and the creative process. I was just like, okay, why am I not watching the show? And then they showed a clip of the show.
I want to be a fly on the wall in that casting room just to see like everybody they went through, how they then ended up with these four or technically six people, because there are two other characters, mm-hmm. which we'll get into later. But yeah, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah. So they showed a clip from the show. It was them singing, I think it might've been Four Stars, and it was just like the catchiness of it. And mm-hmm. just the production value of the set and the sound. I was just like, okay, I need to, you know, check this show out. And then when I was doing the recap with Mike, just telling him about like the summary for the podcast, he was just like, oh, definitely. He goes, that is a show you should 100% check out. And then I was just like, and then the next day I was like, Kristen, are you checking out Girls Five Eva? If you're not, I think you'd love this show, which I think is like a really great testament to like a show and like your friendship, that it's like somebody you'd be like, hey, listen, out of the blue, I just thought of you when I watched this show. How awesome is that? Right.
Right. Exactly. Which is what I did for all of my friends too. Yes. Yeah, do you have Peacock? No, get the free trial. Watch this in 2 days.
Yes, exactly. Because I mean, these episodes are short. I think the longest one is 32 minutes. It could have been, like you said, three more episodes for sure.
Yes.
In talking about the music in the show, Dawn, Sarah Bareilles' character, she mentions that they're on Spotify as like a plug. So I actually checked out them on Spotify. They have their own little Girls Five Eva artist profile. I am now following them on Spotify.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm ashamed to admit I don't have Spotify. I'm not in the Spotify sisterhood. I should look into it. I should check that
There's
out.
A free version. You just got to listen to ads. Yeah.
Ads are okay.
And you just can't download stuff. That's the only thing. Okay. But I mean, I really don't download a ton of stuff on Spotify. Yeah, it has their it has some of their old songs. It has some of their new songs, which is what Jeff Richmond actually talked about in the panel, too. He goes, then the challenge of writing something for 40 seconds for like a little snippet in the show mm-hmm. versus creating something on Spotify where you now have to have a 3-minute production. He goes, now we got to go write other verses. Okay.
Right. We need a 30-second hook versus we need a 3-minute hook.
Exactly. And then how do you make the 3 minutes sound as authentic as the 30-second slammer of a home run that you just created? Because the intent was to make them look like a pop group so that they have a Spotify playlist and then it's mentioned in the show. So I would definitely go check that out too.
I will. That'll be next.
Spotify and Peacock should sponsor this podcast.
Hey, Sarah Bareilles, if you're listening, you come sponsor us.
And if you'd love to come on the show, we would love to interview you.
Oh, that would be amazing. Please come. Please, please, please.
So I think we've gone through like the cast, the creatives, how it got here, where it was filmed. Yes. Anything else to add before we give it our first sort of past love it or leave it recommendation?
Just that I'm very excited for season 2. Hopefully there will be more songs, more cameos. I'm excited for all of it.
I just want more Girls 5 Eva. Hit me yes. with it. Is it a love it or leave it?
Oh, it's definitely a love it.
No surprise there. Right?
It's definitely a love it. It's a love it, want more of it. I need 8 million episodes. I need 8 million seasons. I'm on board for however long it goes.
I too am a love it. For a lot of the same reasons, it's feel-good TV, not to be corny or anything like that. But, I mean, it literally is a fun little step back in time yes. for people who have a nostalgia for this type of music. For this, and I mean, it just has broad appeal as well. Like, you don't have to be someone of our age to appreciate this. The humor alone mm-hmm. would draw anybody in. The fact that it has this nostalgic hook, you're just going to get a lot more viewership. You're going to get a lot more eyes on it. But it is. It's just a fun little romp and in these women's lives as they go on their journey. And we'll talk more in the second half about the message. I really like the message of this show as well.
Yes. The format of the show with the jokes being, you know, nostalgic, but then there's also current jokes too and current things that we deal with. And there are jokes that I don't even get because I'm, quote, older now. So I think it's for a broad spectrum of ages, which is great.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah, because like that's also something that we try to talk about too, is like, who does this appeal to? I really can't think of a group of people that wouldn't find this funny. If you don't like right. comedy, you're not going to like this. That's basically what it comes down to.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you don't have to like music in order to enjoy the show because it's so funny. And like there's the storyline is good. The friendships are good. But if you do like music, it's just a bonus on top. It's like the icing on right. the cake.
Exactly. It's a cherry on top.
So yeah, so it's a love it from me. So yeah, so we mentioned before that this has been renewed for a second season. We don't have a release date yet, I don't think.
No, I don't even know if they started filming yet.
They might take the summer off and I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they would have to do it before September 2nd because that's when Waitress starts up again.
That's true. When she's back on Broadway.
Yes. So
maybe they'll tie that into season 2. Who knows?
Maybe. Ooh. Maybe
there'll be some.
Maybe some predictions Broadway for season things. 2 here.
I have questions about that.
Girls 5 Eva, the musical. with Renee on stage. Mm.
Bite
and Sarah?
Your tongue. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, Tina Fey, Meredith Scardino, call me. I got ideas.
Right? We've got all the plans. Let's make it happen.
That's right. We can make this happen. So the show even got like, so I mean, like we've talked about it as being light. It's being very funny. But it also got like a 97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which I feel is like reserved for like Jaws territory in terms of like things being made well, made perfectly, things hitting at the right.
Right. I want to know the 3% that brought it down.
Yeah.
Like, why is it not 100?
Communists. I don't know what didn't make it 100, but I mean, 97%. I think Jaws is like 96%. Like I just watched that the other day and it just.
That's insane.
Yeah. Where did I watch it? I think I watched it on Peacock. I think Peacock had the Rotten Tomatoes review. Like when you went
shout
to like
out to Peacock,
right? Exactly.
Sponsor
like
us.
It's like an extra. It's an extra like perk that I was just like, oh. And then yeah. I started looking up other movies that I like, and they're like 78%. I'm like, oh, That's not nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, I mean, it got a lot of critical acclaim. That is the spoiler-free half. Now we can stop dancing around and say we're saving that for later. All the stuff that we put a pin in, we're going to pop that balloon right now.
And so, if you have not watched it yet, stop what you're doing, pause this, go watch it, come back, and join the party.
We'll be here. Come back in 245 minutes, because that's about what you'll need to go watch the whole season, all right? I timed it for you. So, yeah, if you have watched, stick around. This is our spoiler-heavy conversation. We're going to go for broke. Like I said, we're going to talk about all the cameos, all the plot points that we liked, things that worked, things that didn't work. Maybe we'll find that 3%.
Come join the party.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we mentioned that the basic plot is that this is a post-fame girl group, and they're brought together by a sample from a rapper by Lil Stinka.
So, which is funny because I don't know if you know this, but in my family, my grandmother always used to call us Little Stinker. My Oma, if we were fresh, you know, like, oh, you little stinker. And now my brother calls his sons that. My sister will do that. It's just like a family thing. So when he said his name was Little Stinker, I was like, oh my goodness.
You're like, hi, Oma.
Pretty much. Like, are you listening?
That's really a really great segue because, like, the group now, so the cast, they have like this nostalgia then for their 90s days. This is where the mayhem ensues. So, like, the nostalgia is high.
We first hear it. Dawn is at her mammogram appointment. Yes! Which I thought was hilarious.
Which was amazing.
And she's stuck in the machine and she's trying to get her phone to find out if this is really their song.
Yes. I thought that was very, very funny.
Oh, man. I was like, also relatable because, you know, we're women. These are things we go through. This is normal life.
This is, you know, around the time of our lives when this stuff starts happening.
Right. Did you relate to Dawn because she was the one that had a son, and you, I know you have a son.
There was a lot of similarities to what Dawn was going through with her only son and like conversations that my husband and I have had about our son. And I'm like, he's fine as an only child. Like, I'm 43, people. Like, the kitchen's not quite closed, but definitely the lights are off. We're wiping the appliances down.
Like, you're closed for a holiday.
Yeah, we might close on Mondays now, you know? But, you know, when he was younger, we were definitely like, you know, trying to have another baby, but it just didn't happen. So through no fault of anything, but it was just like, okay, well now he's going to be an only child. Are we okay with that? Sure. Like, there's moments, and Dawn struggles with it, and they're talking about having another baby. And can I just tell you, to try to have a child at 40, it's a very daunting task because you're in a different time of your life at this point.
Yes.
Sleep is important. You know, they're at a point where their kid is sleeping through the night. He's able to do a lot more stuff for himself. That independence is attractive.
Right.
And to have to go back to the starting line with diapers and not sleeping.
It just makes me tired. I mean, yeah, I don't just have any talking kids, about it makes me tired. About it for you. Yeah. That makes me tired. Just for you.
Just talking about it makes me tired. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I did. I felt a lot of kinship with Dawn for the struggle that she's going through. And then she makes this decision where she's like, nope, I'm going to pursue this.
Right.
And that means that the baby gets put on hold. I also related to Dawn on a very specific level when she said that all she knows about sex is what she learned from the paintings in Catholic school.
Yes, I would agree with that too. It's just something that's not taught.
Right, exactly. Like, we both went to the same Catholic school, and yeah, that stuff was, it was one class in senior year if you were lucky enough to take it.
Yeah. And if you were lucky enough, you got the best teacher, but everyone else got the worst teacher.
Yep, exactly. You know, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, the premise of the show. I like the show. So I mentioned it before. So I talked about like the underlying message that I liked from this show. It works for me on a lot of different levels, but this notion of like what happens after the fame has ebbed was really attractive for me because I often wonder, I'm like, what happens to these one-hit wonders? Like, what do you do after they're not calling you anymore for Jingle Ball? They're not calling you anymore for like,
right. What's your backup plan, or what's your fallback? I should say.
Yeah. Like, what's the fallback, or what do you find yourself doing just to pay the bills?
Gloria becomes a dentist.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Which was very like Roger Taylor from Queen for me, because I think that was his course study when he was, when Queen got formed, that he was in, like in study to be a dentist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I
kind of related with Jonathan Knight from New Kids on the Block, where he did barn fixer uppers. So he basically became
my mouth is agape right now.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah, he became like a, what is the word I'm looking for? Contractor. So he basically flipped houses in the Boston area and the Massachusetts area, and he had his own TV show on HGTV.
I'd heard of. I'm allergic to reality TV in all shapes and forms. Like I
should watch that one though.
I break out in hives.
It's really good because everybody drops a New Kids joke on him.
Oh, that's hilarious!
A New Kids on the Block title, song title. Like his brother also comes. You see his mom. It's really awesome.
But about the closest I come to reality TV is The Masked Singer, which Donnie Wahlberg was on just very recently.
So good. That show is so good.
I fast forward through all the judges.
My favorite band was on The Masked Singer. And
yes, I know. I thought of you.
I'm very sad they didn't win.
They were great. They really were. Okay, right. Sorry. See, I told you people, tangents.
Tangent.
Told you. So the other thing that I really liked, so the message that I put a pin in before in the spoiler-free version, was this underlying message that threaded throughout the season for me, was that these are four women, they have greatness, and they build each other up.
Yes.
Specifically, I'm going to say Gloria and Summer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them being growth. Thrown together, and they grow together, and mm-hmm. Gloria kind of forces some realities on Summer.
Right. I was asking my girlfriends who have also watched the show, mm-hmm. and I asked them what was their favorite part about the show, and everybody said that women can do anything at any age. And
yes.
I agree with them wholeheartedly. Like, yes. That's the message of the show.
And even like when Vanessa Williams, the fabulous Vanessa Williams, makes her appearance as Nance Trace, their manager, she ends up just saying like, psh, like, I don't want to be known as a woman that didn't, you know, as a woman who didn't help women. So I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to be hired as your manager to give women a break, to help women. So I love the positivity of that message, and it's not meant to be condescending. It's not meant to be anything other than I'm just going to give you an olive branch just to, you know, give you the leg up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially, no skin of my nose at this point, right?
Right. Especially in this climate where I don't know if we're taught this way or we're just, it's in our DNA to bring each other down, but we should be bringing each other up.
Amen. I feel like at this point, I'm like, I'm just unapologetically me, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Right. I'm too like, tired for this.
I'm a lot for the wrong people, and I'm just right for my people.
Right.
So,
I like the way you say that.
Aw, thanks.
I like that. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
There you go. But yeah, so I feel like these four women, they were a lot back in the day. They had to be like very over the top. And now they have to like get to know each other as they are now. And like also reach back and find that sassy confidence that they had. So
right, now they have to live, quote, normal lives.
Right.
Because they were one hit wonders. And now they have to try and figure out how to live life as a normal person.
Right. And like what that looks like. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to shift gears rapidly here. Tell me what your favorite episode was.
I think for me, it was the Catskills episode. I was thinking about this a lot because I do like little things about every episode.
Yes.
So I like little scenes here and there or just little things that happen. But the Catskills episode made me laugh a lot. Because you find out what's in the owner's closet, and you find out that it's
the owner.
The owner. Spoiler alert: it's the owner. It's her name is Daphne. She's very quirky, but I kind of loved that Dawn then befriends her and is trying to help her. She gives her money to get a hotel. They can stay in her house
and continue that. Yeah, that was definitely continuing.
It was just very random, but I loved that. I also loved the episode. I don't know the title of it, but where Tina Fey.
Yeah, we're the spoiler. Where the spoiler.
Tina Fey is Dolly Parton in an interview. She said, yeah, I don't know if I could pull it off, but she was doing it for me. It was great.
And was that the Karma one? That was Karma.
Yes. She has a lot of time with Dawn because Dawn is trying to write the song, and Dolly Parton is her spirit, basically. And she comes to her to try to write the song. And she's like, well, you wrote these two amazing songs in one day. I can do it. So that was another like really big moment that stands out for me.
And I thought that was really poignant too, because Tina Dolly tells Dawn, I wrote 5,000 songs before I had that magic day.
Right.
Like, you got to put in the effort, you know, exactly. to get the payoff, right?
Take a breath. You have to put in the work before you get the reward.
My favorite episode is Cease and Desist.
Yes, that's also a good one.
So this was episode 6. So I felt a lot of things were gelling for the group in this moment. This is when they were at the Y2 Gay Festival. The heckling happens by Xander. And yes.
Wiki was played by Bowen Yang from the current SNL cast.
Yes. I knew his face. I wasn't placing him, but thank you.
This current generation, what are we, Gen X, Gen Z, whatever they are. But he plays that perfect character.
I'm Gen X. You're a millennial.
So, I mean, like, the current one.
Gen Z.
I don't like to be called a millennial. I know I'm in the bracket. I'm, like, the older end of millennials.
Well, you were dragged into the Gen X generation by your brother and sister, so.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah. There was just so much that was going on in this episode. First of all, there was Azima, which I cackled at when I saw that with the manager, you know. Mm-hmm. Dawn gets her alter ego to give her the confidence that she needs to kind of overcome her.
Fledge Mulholland. Which is such a random name, but I love it.
She was just like riffing off the top. Like, yeah, so for me, just a lot of things came together in this episode for the group. Wiki learned how to kind of like monetize.
And speaking of that, because the episode is called Cease and Desist, and that becomes her catchphrase, and she doesn't know it. Do you have a catchphrase, or what would be your catchphrase?
Oh, man, I don't know.
What would you put on a t-shirt?
Honestly, I think it would be the drink from this episode, the shit star. I feel like that's like my strong suit, is that like, I'm going to give you vodka bubbles and opinions.
So mine would be, and I told you this the other day, where I spout out like 5 facts about something that nobody else really cares about. And then I go, I'm sorry, my nerd is showing.
Yes.
So that would be my catchphrase.
Okay. All right. So if we're doing honest things that I do, okay. I do say I nerded all over myself. Like when, like when Loki came out very recently, I was like, but I was so excited for it. I met Tom Hiddleston at Comic-Con back in 2019. Yeah. I paid for one of those pictures because I just, nerd was showing. And yes. So what I did was I talked to like the people behind the scenes. I was like, listen, my son is an enormous Loki fan. He's 6 years old. I said, but he's in school. Because I think it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can I hold up a picture of him on my phone? I know phones are not allowed, but if I have it on a picture, can he hold it so that my son can be in the picture with Loki? And they were like, Tom, is this okay? He was like, yeah, bring it up. So he's holding my phone of a picture of my son so that he could be in the picture with him.
I love that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, so I really nerded all over myself. And then later the same day, I met Paul Rudd.
Points to Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. That's, and then awesome. I met Paul Rudd, who, by the way, is beautiful up close.
He ages backwards. He
really does.
Benjamin Button.
He looks better now than he did in, like, Clueless. Sorry, tangent. But yes, I nerd all over myself. Like, that's when, like, I get really, like Black my Widow's coming out this week. Yep, so my nerd is showing, and I will be nerding all over myself on Friday.
Oh, yes.
That just became just like a trademark moment and became like a hallmark moment for me because like I really feel that they were starting to figure a lot of things out. The joke a minute, I felt it so poignantly in this episode. Gloria goes to Xander out of curiosity.
Yes.
He got a verified check from the whole cease and desist thing, like the verified check on Twitter, the elusive, right?
Yes.
And then Gloria comes into her own with this whole rant as well. Bitchard right, Nixon.
She's basically her coming out party.
Yes.
She didn't have that in the past.
I know she confessed that she hadn't been to any pride thing. So like for me, cease and desist, like if I need something to throw on for 20 minutes, I've put that one on a few times.
Isn't it funny that it seems poignant to me that the episode is called Cease and Desist because of the catchphrase, but that's when everything is actually coming together.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the back and forth, the yin and yang.
And this is also where Wiki wanted to trademark her future mouth gems, which I want to trademark that. Like, these are the mouth gems that, you know, and nothing stickies to Wiki's.
just so good.
Yeah. So like that episode for me is something that I just keep coming back to because it's just, like, I find something new in it all the time.
Yes.
I've probably watched that episode maybe 4 or 5 times.
they're trying to write a song and they write this really one, really bad one. It's called Stronger Than the Best.
Yeah.
And then the Airbnb owner says, well, if you're stronger than the best, then what's the best? And she kind of just like, she plays devil's advocate, and it's really great.
Oh my God. So
mm-hmm. We have Stephen Colbert. We have Tina Fey, John Slattery as himself, Jimmy Fallon as himself. Will Chase plays one of the judges, so he's been on Broadway.
Yeah.
He was in the show Nashville.
That's where I know him from.
Yeah, he was, I don't remember his character's name, but he dated Raina James for a while.
So my favorite cameo, I would have to say, is going to be Stephen Colbert as Alf Music.
I would agree with that, and I would also then add in Tina Fey as Dolly Parton, because again, like, she thought she couldn't do it, but she did it.
So this was hard for me. This was a hard question for me because I love Dolly Parton so much. I love her. Like, it's crazy.
I have to thank Dolly Parton for giving me a vaccine. So,
so
to Dolly.
So, yeah. So Dolly, so Tina Fey as Dolly was phenomenal. I mean, the hair, the wig, that when she was air drumming on her boobs, it was
yes.
amazing. Yes. But for me, Stephen Colbert, because, and I'll tell you why, because Stephen Colbert as Alf Music, as like the eccentric Swede hit maker.
Right. Like he's supposed to play Max Martin, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So he was like fashioned after a real person.
Who but was he, a hit maker.
Yeah. So he also kind of goes on his own little musical journey here because he mm-hmm. wrote this song and they were just like, oh no. Like this.
Well, first they're like, okay, this is good. And then they really listen to it and they listen to all their music from before and they're like, why are we singing this? This
why is are not... we side pieces for life? No, we're not.
Right. This is not our image anymore.
Right. So he tries to go on this little musical journey and he said that, you know, he basically writes music for women doing BuzzFeed quizzes about Disney princesses.
Yes.
And Summer is Jasmine. He's like, me too.
Totally a Jasmine.
So I like the fact that he tried to challenge himself to come up with something a bit better. And, you know, so I like the fact that he was hilarious. I mean, he was just so funny. And then just the little tropes about like the smart house, and he was able to learn so much about them in their sad lives.
Yes, and how he observed them in a creepy way.
Yeah, like Dawn using Listerine strips to like freshen up her armpits and mm-hmm. Gloria's square car. It was very funny. So I really enjoyed Stephen. At first I was just like, is that Stephen Colbert?
I did the same thing.
I wasn't sure it was him at first.
Because it was kind of that thing where you see the image on your screen and you go, I know that person. Where right. do I know that person from?
Yes, he's very out of context.
Talking, right, because he's not talking in his regular voice either. Mm-hmm. He's got this sort of Swedish accent and he calls them Girls Five Ever. And
yes.
and then it clicks for me. And I go, oh, that's Stephen Colbert. And then you know it's really good acting because you couldn't figure it out at first.
Yes. So Stephen Colbert for me, amongst the many.
I don't know if this is a cameo, but the guy who plays Scott, Dawn's husband, mm-hmm. Daniel Breaker, I'm not sure. I was Googling him and I found out he played Aaron Burr in Hamilton on Broadway. Like he's one of the current cast. So not only is he an actor, but he's also a singer, obviously, and a rapper.
So yeah, maybe
that was a little fun fact I learned.
Maybe for like season two, there might be a little Scott, Dawn.
I'm wondering. I'm thinking there'll be like a fever dream or like a flashback of maybe how they met.
Oh, maybe. Let me ask you this. This is kind of an odd thing because we've been talking about so much about how much we love the show. Were there any low points for you?
Yes. I know you told me about this too, but Andrew Reynolds as Kev. I love Andrew Reynolds, but I feel like Kev was a little bit of a downer to me.
Yeah.
I understood why they put it in and why they had all these like double entendres to show that he might be gay. But I felt like it was a long walk to get his story in there and
yeah.
to get the Summer and Kev storyline.
Yeah. Maybe the show needed some like romantic tension beyond mm-hmm. like Scott and Dawn. There really wasn't a whole lot other than like Wiki and Ghislaine, her piano.
Right. Because they show you basically all the different types of relationships. Like Dawn is the one that's married. Gloria is divorced. Summer is in a or she's married, but in a rocky relationship. And then Gloria thinks that maybe Summer's husband is gay and is
Yeah,
it, get away from her.
It just took a really long time to,
and then Wiki
to get the resolution.
The cool single one.
Right, and she's got like the hot young TikTok gamer dude, which was that whole little arc. It took up no time whatsoever, but was hilarious.
Yes, agreed.
But yeah, the Kev arc for me, it wasn't that great. I mean, the actor who played him, I thought the Krabitat was hilarious. Yeah. There was like some good little nuggets there, but it was just like every time that he was on screen, not to say that he's not captivating, I just found my mind kind of wandering, the Bible study thing.
Right.
Although like the jokes out of that were just priceless. Gloria showing up with her 2020 census, but she covered up the census to make it Jesus.
Yes.
Was priceless.
Wasn't Andrew Rannells in the Book of Mormon? So that might be like a little nod to his
maybe his Book of Mormon days.
Yeah.
Out of a show, 245 minutes, like Kev was the only thing that I was just like, meh.
I mean, I would have liked to know his story a little more. So maybe in season two, maybe a Summer and Kev backstory.
Yeah, because like they were kind of thrown together. They were like a fabrication, almost like a nod to like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, or like Jessica Simpson.
Exactly, and Nick Lachey.
Yeah, also basically from that whole like 90s.
The boy band girl group, what did they call it? The royal couple?
Yeah.
Everything else was
stellar, I thought.
Yes, pretty much.
We've talked, so are there any other like highlights of the show or high points that when you're telling somebody about the show that like you definitely would come back to?
I always tell them that they'll enjoy the music because it's what we've grown up on. So I always say, like, listen for the music. The theme is going to be your earworm for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I love that all of like the hooks are what made that distinction of that boy band girl group and all of the cameos for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm excited to see who else they can get now that, like, this... I mean, you've got some big names on here, right? You've got Sarah Bareilles, you've got Renee Goldsberry, Paul... You've got a lot of Busy Philip. Like, everybody... Like, yeah. I can't, like, stop at like, somebody and be like, I can't, like, leave this next person out. There's already such star power in the main cast. And when you start bringing in sort of these Broadway-known actors and actresses... And you start rounding it out, and then you bring in the Jimmy Fallons and the John Slattery's, the Tina Fey's. You've got a lot, Stephen Colbert, you've got a lot of star power here.
We didn't even talk about Ashley Park and Erica Henningsen.
Oh, R.I.P.
The original. Yeah.
R.I.P. So, Ashley.
R.I.P. Ashley. And then Erica Henningsen plays the younger Gloria. Mm-hmm. So you see her change dramatically, obviously. It's a new character. We didn't even talk about where they're from. They're from Mean Girls on Broadway. Which is Tina Fey and Jeff Richmond's deal. That's probably...
I didn't know that they were Mean Girls. Yeah. This is why I courted you for this.
I loved that show, by the way. I'm sad it's not coming back.
Well, yeah. You know, never say never.
I don't think so. We'll see. Yeah,
I don't know.
Never say never. Waitress is back again.
They just keep, you know, making these announcements and I see them on Twitter and I'm going, yay! And then I like rub my credit card. I'm like, warm up, baby. Nope. You were dormant for 17 months. So I have to say some of the high points for me is things that we've touched on, but the writing here is so clever and the creatives are inherently funny. There's such a range of moments to choose from. I mean, we just keep talking about just the little quips here and there.
Right. The smart humor, the quick jokes.
Yeah. I mean,
it always keeps me on my toes and I always tell them like, you should watch it and then watch it again.
So the second time through is when I found you need to pay attention to the walls, to the background, to like the taps in the restaurant. The gold is in there. Mm-hmm. There's a Chianti tap in the soda fountain at the restaurant at Salon. I noticed that on the second time through. Dawn's brother, we didn't even talk about him. He's played by Dean Winters, Mr. Mayhem from Allstate.
But he was also in 30 Rock. He was Tina Fey's love interest.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, that's a deep dive.
The moving van for Wiki's piano. Did you catch that?
Yes, it's called Deliverance.
And it goes in parentheses, not the movie.
Not the movie.
There was something in the salon that Gloria and Summer go to, and it was like in parentheses as well, but I couldn't catch the name at the top. So I'm going to have to go back for another. Yeah, that was one of the earlier episodes. That might have been Karma or this. What was the second? I think it's DeWags.
DeWask,
thank you. Not D-Swag. D-Swag is so much better.
I love when Dawn's husband's like, why didn't you just name it D-Swag? And that's a nod to the NSYNC motif
Yes.
With the star and all the letters from their names.
See, all these little Easter eggs that, like, I've forgotten along the way.
Right. My next rewatch, I'm gonna take notes.
Also, I noticed that Y2K, there was a Girls 5 Ever banner on the poster, but it was slapped on. So it was different color than the poster for Y2K.
Kind of like a last minute, oh, whoops.
Like a plan B guest yeah. list kind of a thing. Be like, oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was just so many quips, like we've talked about it. There was Wham Bam Grammed. They're talking about, like,
the Derek Jeter gift basket?
So when they did the Wham Bam Grammed, that was when they did the mall shoot. And Gloria says that. I was just like, oh, I was like, thank you. That's a little nod to people who are younger than us. yeah, the Derek Jeter gift basket was hilarious. Does everybody know about the Derek Jeter gift baskets, or do we have
is that a New York thing, maybe? I don't know.
So, allegedly, Derek Jeter would send gift baskets to people he was intimate with.
Yes.
And
he slept with.
Yes. And so, you know, it was a way to say thank you, and that was pleasure.
I don't even know if he sent them to them or if it was just waiting on the counter the next morning. Like, as a, see you later.
Yeah, like, we have a closet. We got a closet full of them. We have lovely we have lovely parting gifts on the way out.
That's kind of legend, but I don't know if that's in New York specifically or if that's known.
These were all things that I just found so funny and so, like, comedically genius that I appreciated the creatives working these in, and the writers as well, like being able to write in so many quips that, like, things sail past you on the first watch. So I would definitely recommend. This is such an easy to digest show. It has such power, like bingeability power, because, like, you want to see what happens next. And even if you've seen it before, you still want to know what happens next, because, you know, they go from Karma to Catskills. And there's this emotional, you know, range, this little pendulum that swings that you just want to go along for, because ultimately it leaves you in a better place. Each episode keeps building.
Another Easter egg. I wouldn't say it's really a cameo because she does play just a little role, but Gloria's ex-wife, Caroline, is played by her actual real-life wife, which is amazing. I think it's Janine Brito.
Okay.
Brito or Brito. Because so I follow Paula Pell on Instagram, and I noticed that she had gotten married just recently. So I've seen pictures of her and her wife, and then I start watching the show. I'm like, why do I know her? Where do I know her from? And then I realize, oh, that's her real wife. So I thought that was a little cool, little Easter egg, too.
That is awesome. Oh, the Britney scales. They were, like, I mean, the timing of it just happened to be so perfect, because this was coming out at the same time that the Britney conservatorship was, the Free Britney movement was back front and center in the news again. But they were doing their warm up, and they were doing their Britney scales. And dang, it was spot on. They got the little vibrato at the end.
Yes, and that was a little 90s nostalgic for me too.
So there was so many of these in each of the episodes that it's just so hilarious to go through and watch. And then, but like I said, like on the second watch is when I found the Deliverance truck and the sign in the Y2K and the salon. And I got to go back and see, because I wanted to go back and check it again, but because I saw the parentheses, I'm like, oh, what are you?
Yeah.
The salon owner who's trying to take Summer's hair back.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's what it taught me, is that I need to pay attention even to the background, because when I spotted the Chianti tap at the Solano's restaurant, I was just like, was that there the first time?
So while they're giving you a joke verbally, they're also giving you three jokes visually.
Right.
It's so great.
That's what, like, the show is so nuanced, and the layers of comedy are so effortless. And I think that's another reason why the show is so easy to digest, because it's super smart, but it doesn't pretend to be smart. Do you know what I mean?
I get it. That's exactly what it is.
So Ashley, we talked a little bit about Ashley, but let's give her her due, okay? She gets some props.
She's lovely.
So it turns out that Ashley and Ashley are in the group, but Ashley has to change her name to Summer, so Ashley could be the fun one.
Yes. And then Summer becomes, what was she, the sexy one or something?
The sexy one, yeah. And then she becomes the other half of Summer and Kev. So Ashley died in a tragic 2004 infinity pool accident.
Yes.
So they said something at the end. They're asked to sing the national anthem at the NHL championships.
No, the WNHL championship.
W, like, yes. Oh, I'm so sorry.
The women's hockey league.
Yes. Because they're everyone is trying to marginalize them and not allow them to shine. They do it despite everyone trying to stomp them down and keep them back and hold them back. So they manage to have their moment in the ice, in the spotlight. They rig up this hologram of their deceased member, and she goes off the grid.
She does.
But she's like so glorious. Like, I think she's reading my emails. And
she gives them this empowering speech, and then they realize that it was a speech that she gave somewhere else.
In Charmed
and
or
then
something like that.
Yeah, and then started reading Gloria's emails.
That's right. And, you know, glitched herself on the ice and while they were trying to sing the national anthem. But there was something interesting said as they were sort of like walking away from that gig. I think Gloria said, I think Ashley faked her own death. And then I was like, ooh. Oh, okay, well, then there's a season two happening. So
there's the door open for season two. So maybe we'll find out she's still alive.
I'm going to put some money that there's going to be a shocking Ashley reveal. I got nothing to base it on other than that little nugget that I saw when I rewatched it just yesterday.
And I know in the, quote, MTV TRL clip in the very first episode, she says that she's been in a bunch of bands before that, or a bunch of groups before Girls 5 Eva. So I'm wondering if maybe she's off in Europe or something, and she hits it big in
Sweden,
in Europe. Oh, maybe in Sweden. Maybe she's Alf Music's secret weapon.
Maybe she's his muse. What else would I want to see in season two? I would like to see them go on tour. I think the shenanigans that would ensue would be just hilarious. I think I could imagine them getting like a cameo of like the Spice Girls actually coming back together, like doing like this like massive like girl group tour. Like you could get like Destiny's Child. Like I don't know if you'll get everyone, but you might get like a lookalike. But like if they could get like Spice Girls, you know, Destiny's Child.
Nicole Scherzinger's from.
Yeah, the Pussycat Dolls, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that they could do if they wanted to like amp up the girl power.
True. I would love to see the dynamic of who also goes on tour with them. Like I'm sure Dawn would want Scott and her son, and that would have like just great little moments too.
The coveted goal from the very beginning was to get to Jingle Ball because they got snubbed.
Yeah,
they got bumped in 2001 by the people who performed at that were Pink, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, all who are not Dennis now.
Correct.
So the goal for the 8 episodes was to get to Jingle Ball, and through happenstance, they were all at Jingle Ball for different reasons.
And you know, Jingle Ball used to be like just a New York thing, so that was known in New York, but now because it was through Z100, the radio station. And now because that's on iHeartRadio, they have Jingle Ball in other places.
Is that a fact? Because I was like, why is this like the coveted thing? Because like,
I'm pretty sure.
Jingle Ball felt just very New York-y. It was like a Madison Square Garden thing.
Yeah, it was always a New York thing.
It was like...
But now I know that they've done like a Jingle Ball tour because they're part of iHeartRadio.
Oh, and okay.
That's nationwide now. So
that's pretty cool.
That's a little
cool.
Fun fact. This whole show is a love letter to New York, and it's a nod to all the great things of New York.
So the moment where Summer is able to get to the teleprompt guy who turned out to be her biggest fan when she was a stripper for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Changing the teleprompter so that Wiki has to read that the next one up is Girls 5 Eva, and they're on the stage. What were your feelings?
So as an adult, I felt, why are they messing with this? You know, things could go wrong. But as a 90s nostalgic music lover, it was the best moment ever.
I like the fact that they got the little remix as the musician started in, and Dawn kind of looks back going like, wait, what's that? Oh, wait, okay. Yeah. They're not coming in with a hook to take us off the stage.
As a realist, I'm thinking like, how did all of that happen? That's not going to happen in real life. That's never going to happen that way, that quickly. But obviously, it's movie magic. It's the moment. It's
exactly.
The big hurrah.
It's Meredith Scardino. It's Tina Fey. It's all those people making the movie magic happen. And I just wanted to also mention Jeremiah Kraft. He plays Little Stinker. I knew him from Bill and Ted Face the Music from last year.
Okay. I had never seen him before.
Yeah, he played Louis Armstrong in Bill and Ted Face the Music, and he was just, he was very captivating. So when I saw his face, I'm like, ooh, where do I know you from? He was the act that they bumped. You know, he was like, that's a little stinker move. Like, he was fully on board.
And then he realizes who they are, and he goes, no, don't kick them off stage. Give them,
right.
Give them their due. Like, that's mad respect.
Yeah, like exactly. That. And, you know, I appreciated, like, how full circle it became at that moment. And then just the four of them on stage having their moment, like, that's what they'd worked to for these 8 episodes, and they got their moment in the sun. It was just back to this really empowering message that, like what you said, women, it doesn't matter what age you are, you build each other up, you can do anything. So I really liked the message of the show. I really liked how they ended it. I liked how it was wide open for season 2 and that they were able to get it. I want to see more of Larry, their manager, just to be really random. Their old manager. I just found this so funny.
I could see that. He plays the sleazy manager, but I love that he mentions he had to go through sensitivity training.
Right. He air like hogs now.
Yes. Like, that is true.
That's gross.
It's this day and age, this climate. So I appreciated that they put that in there, too.
Just a final thing for me before I give my love it or leave it. I think we all need a Jonathan Baron in our lives. Do you remember who Jonathan Baron is? That is Wiki's British man voice.
Yes.
That she uses to lure Alf Music into the masterclass.
Basically her secretary, too.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But yes, Jonathan, like how she's able to like modulate her voice down so much and then just deliver this accent. And she's so straight faced throughout it. I'm just like, I need a Jonathan Baron in my life for sure.
We never talked about Wiki and how she had this persona about having her own shoe line. And then
her fempire.
Her fempire. And then she really just works for the airline.
Well, yeah, that's all part of this like whole notion of like how the fame ebbs and how do you make ends meet.
I loved her Instagram story, from the runway to the runway. And then you find out like, no, she just works there.
And she's clearing
the birds from the runway.
Yeah, she's paid by the goose that she shoots, right? So like I feel like that's the furthest to fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, but I feel like they all have like a really good redemption. You know, Summer gets her sort of ducks in a row through the friendship with Gloria. He's the one that gives her sort of the moment, because he's still an authority figure in her life, to realize that, you know, she needs to proceed without Kevin. I really like the whole message. It's all about friendship. It's about, you know, building each other up. So I'm just excited. I'm excited for season 2.
I'm really curious to see who they bring in for cameos for season 2.
Yeah, I feel like the bar has been set really high. So in terms of like cameos, like, I mean, like episode 1, within the first 5 minutes, Jimmy Fallon's there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's get a fast cameo. And then, you know, John Slattery, when he comes in playing himself later on, as Dawn is having her little parental crisis, reinforcing that, you know, her son is fine as is.
Just the way he is.
I liked all the messages. Like there was so much positivity, which is why I think that this is, like I've said, it's bingeable, it's digestible, it's easily digestible. And it's something that I've come back to willingly, because it's, you know, cease and desist, bitches.
Yes. And it's something that I recommend to everybody.
I tell them, like, if you don't have Peacock, it's worth the spend. They're adding stuff all the time.
Or even just try the free trial, try it out, and then if you like it, keep going.
Okay, so one last time, is this a love it or a leave it from you?
It's a love it from me.
I'm going to have to agree with that. That's definitely, I think, what we've been prattling on about. So
I'm giving it 6 stars, because 5 stars is not enough.
Very creative.
Thank you.
Okay, so that wraps up another Love It or Leave It from Pod Clubhouse. If you like this podcast, please head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you downloaded this one from to rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is greatly appreciated. It's a great way to help others find the show so they can get as much enjoyment out of it that you do. You can find Pod Clubhouse on all the social media platforms at Pod Clubhouse, Twitter. Did I just say Twitter?
Your New York is showing.
My New York is showing, or my Girls 5 Eva is showing. Twitter, yes. Facebook, and Instagram at Pod Clubhouse.
You can find me on Instagram at ksmitty514.
And you can find me on Twitter at Shields McGangsta. I guess I was like already running with the Girls 5 Eva theme with that.
I think you were. You had like a premonition.
I had a short character. I had a short character problem because I needed ER to get Shields McGangster. But Shields McGangsta is what it had to be on Twitter. So that's what I am. And this is Girls 5 Eva. Love it or leave it. I'm Sheila.
I'm Kristen.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.